pain. And I feel really, really passionately about this. And I feel like it will help a lot of people. And I want you to believe that. And I'd like you to find somebody that you know that suffers. And I'm not talking about physical pain, but we'll be using that as a parallel. Some people deal with chronic pain physically, and others deal with chronic pain spiritually. Neither you can see. Both affect you in one way or another. So, Kevin, good to see you tonight. I know you've been working. Glad you could make it. Exodus chapter 18 and verse 8. I don't think I'm forgetting anything. You're all quiet. Everybody must be tired still. Took me 3 days to recover from the weekend. And in part because I decided to get a sinus infection that went to my chest. And so that made the recovery of my physical body worse. Exodus 18 and 8. Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. I forgot. I don't have verse 19. Give me a second here. I've got these notes in my iPad. Hearken now. Wait a minute. I read 18 and 8. Oh, there we go. That's why I'm all messed up. Let me keep reading then. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God, and Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone? And all the people stand by thee from morning unto even. We're going to read more, but I'd like to preach to you on this topic, Cain, the Abel killer. We're going to ask them to come up and pray for us right now. Bless you, may be seated. Got to have some tissue you ready. In this text, doesn't need a whole lot of explanation. It's very clear. Moses had become accustomed to leading a whole lot of people. We're not quite certain exactly how good of a job he did, because it's pretty hard to lead a lot of people. Pretty hard to lead a couple people rather than a couple million people. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, take note, some of y'all, you can learn from your father-in-law. He saw Moses sit down in the judgment seat, and he said, what are you doing? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and the other, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. Don't you just wish some people weren't so prideful that they could take good advice? Hearken unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to God word, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of ten. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Now I know you're probably tired, and I know you don't want to hear a message about work, but I'm going to preach one to you anyway. First of all, if there's one thing that I've learned in our 20 years, is everybody wants ministry. That's a good thing. If there's something else that I've learned, is not everybody wants to live the way they need to live to have ministry. Not everybody wants to do what they have to do to have ministry. Years ago, I was accused of being a micromanager. And I said, when I have people that I can trust, I won't have to worry about micromanaging. When you ask somebody to take on a job and they take that job upon themselves only to not do that job and to make excuses on why the job can't be done, it kind of puts you in micromanagement mode. You follow what I'm saying? Moses was in that micromanagement mode. Moses had become accustomed to judging every person for every matter. Luckily, Moses' father-in-law, because there is wisdom with our elders, he stood by. Now, I want to go back to that just for a second, because you need to understand the day that we live in. We live in a day where a bunch of young know-it-alls come up and they look at their elders like they're old, trashy news, out of touch with time, and they can't give you anything. I got news for you. If you got any ounce of brains in you, you ought to pick an elder that's serving God and invite him over to dinner and say, could you just give me some life lessons? Because they'll have a whole lot for you. A lot. And so Jethro says, this is not smart. He said, this is too big for you. He said, you're going to wear away both you and the people that are with you, for this thing is too heavy and you're not able to perform it alone. So he says, I want to give you some advice, Moses. And here was the advice, and this is what I want to preach you about. This is where I want you to tune in to me. He said, provide out of all the people able men. The first thing he said to look for is men with abilities. The word able is just short for ability. Now, that might be a relevant term to many, what you may consider an able body. I may not, and vice versa. But he goes on in some respect to define what these able men look like. He said, men that fear God. Men that fear God. Men that fear God. Then he said, men of truth. Honest men, that would be a sub-definition of truth. Men that are of honest report. Men that aren't deceptive. Men that do not hide things. Men that are sincere in all things. Men that are humble. Men of truth. And then he said, those Such individuals will be those that hate covetousness. Meaning these will not be men that are living for the world and living to have. But they've got to be men that are willing to forego, if you please. Men that are willing to live for something other than possessions and other than what they can have. Not men that are covetous men. And he said, and take those types of men, men that fear God, that are men of truth and men that hate covetousness. And he said, place them over others to be rulers. Some will be rulers of thousands. Some will be rulers of hundreds. And some will be rulers of fifties. And some will be rulers of tens. He was explaining to Moses to pass that authority on. But he did not just pass it on to anybody. He was very careful in what he told him to do. He said, if you're going to find men that are able to complete this task, they've got to be men that are noble men. And the first thing is they've got to have a fear of God. If you don't have a fear of God, excuse me, if you don't have a fear of God, you're not going to go very far in this thing you call Christian walk. Because sometimes it's your fear of God that's going to drive you to the prayer room. It's your fear of God that's going to drive you to fix some things in your life. It's your fear of God that's going to drive you to your knees to call out the Lord, the name of the Lord. It's your fear of God that will drive you to be a better husband. It's your fear of God that will drive you to be a better wife. It's your fear of God that will drive you to be a better leader. Because you don't want to stand before God one day and have to give an account for being a buffoon and a dingbat. Fear goes a long way. Goes a long way. The worst thing you can ever do is lose the fear of God in your life. Worst thing you can ever do. The fear of God will drive you to find truth. The fear of God will drive you to live a life of righteousness. It'll push you when your flesh wants to intervene. It'll cause you to excel in the area of holiness when your flesh wants to go the opposite direction. The fear of God is the greatest checks and balances you'll ever have in your life. There is a reason the devil tries to get people offended at God. Because when you get offended at God, you no longer will fear God. And when you won't fear God, you'll live a life that is taking you straight to hell. And the devil knows it. Fear. Men that fear God. Men of truth. Men that hate covetousness. The church is in need of such people now. Especially in this hour that we're living in. The church is in need. It's almost as if we have gone full circle. It's almost as if we have come back to a place of basics. I believe that God is grooming this generation. My iPad's talking to me. I believe that God is grooming this generation to be a generation that hates covetousness, to be a generation that will sell everything out to the Lord and to the kingdom of God. What's sad about that is when you make those statements in a lot of people's minds, they come up with these rebuttals. Well, God wants you to live and have fun, says what Bible? If I could just be honest with you for a moment, you don't have to get scared. I'm not telling you not to have fun. But I am saying, show me any scripture that says God is interested in you just having fun and living this fun life. God is interested in eternity. God is interested in saving as many people as can be saved from the wrath of hell. God is interested in bringing in as many as can be brought into the body of Christ to become brides of Christ before the wedding begins and the doors are shut. We're not on a good track record. We can't make funerals on time anymore. People be walking to weddings 20 minutes late. They're walking to funerals 20 minutes late. Then they want to, you know, they're up there giving a eulogy and they want to back there talking. We're not on the right track here. That was just a bonus. I just threw that in. Go with me real quick to Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth. And his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Interesting text. Abel had, he had the right heart. When he brought his offering, he did not do so sparingly. He didn't do so grudgingly, but he did so cheerfully. He brought the firstling of his flock. And the Bible says that he had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But Cain, he just threw some things in the offering plate and expected God to accept it. And the scripture says that God accepted Abel's offering. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. Did God say, Abel, I accept your offering? Or were there notable blessings in Abel's life because of his offering? I don't know what it means exactly. I mean, we could just take it on the surface. God had respect unto Abel. But again, did God say, I have respect for your offering, Abel? Cain, I don't have respect for yours. It's possible. I don't know. But whatever it was, we know that Abel was well aware of it. And it made Abel angry. People always get angry when somebody else is excelling in their walk with God and they're not. But it matters what you bring to the table. It matters how your heart is with the Lord. I told Brother Fred yesterday, I'm going to be preaching a message here in the future if time affords it, titled, The Value of a Quarter. Now, I don't want to make this about money because it's not, but I have this really weird thing that I do. And when I find change in the church, it doesn't matter what it is, if it's a penny, quarter, dime, or nickel, I always put it in the offering plate. And not only do I put it in the offering plate, but I feel like God lays claim to that dime, quarter, nickel, or penny. To the point where sometimes I'll put it in my pocket and forget to put it in the offering plate. I'll take it home and I'll set it on the dresser. And when I do, when I pick it up the next day, I feel the Holy Ghost say to me, don't you forget, that's my penny. You think I'm funny, but I'm not. I'm being serious as I can be. The widow with the two mites, the scripture says, gave more, even though it was less in monetary value. Because her heart was so pure. Because she obviously was a woman that feared God when she brought that offering before the Lord. An offering is not only monetary. An offering is praise. An offering is sacrifice. An offering is what you do to contribute to the kingdom of God. All those things are offerings. And so this is what Cain was jealous about. He was jealous because Abel was more sincere about what he brought before the Lord than Abel was. And when God blessed what Abel brought and he did not bless Cain's, Cain became angry at Abel as if it was Abel's fault. And the Bible says Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him, killed him. The reason I wanted to share this scripture, because as I was contemplating this, I thought about this, and I thought about Cain and Abel, and even though I know the words are spelled differently, I know Abel's name is A-B-E-L, and abilities are Abel's A-B-L-E, and they sought out Abel men, I still think there's a connotation to it. Because Abel was a man that was willing to give God his very best. He was one of the Abel men that Jethro told Moses to look for. He was one of those men that feared God. He was one of those men that rejected covetousness. And he was one of those men that had a good report. That's the type of character that Abel had. But as would have it, the devil will always try to rise up and kill men that are able men. He'll always try to rise up and kill men that are of good report and men that fear God. And so what I'm trying to say to you today is there's a Cain in your life that is trying to kill your abilities for the Lord and for the kingdom of God in these hours that are closing fast on this thing that we call time. And every single person ought to be mindful that you've got an ability that God wants to use. You are an able man in one way or the other. And if you allow the enemy to rise up in your life and kill it, he'll do so out of jealousy. He'll do so because he hates who you are as a person. He'll do so because he knows you have a sincere heart. Some of you are so busy tearing yourself apart over your weaknesses that you don't even realize that your heart is still pure with God. And that's why you get so angry at yourself. And your heart is so pure, that's why you beat yourself up. At least you're not some arrogant, prideful fool. You ought to thank God for your weaknesses as long as you have a pure heart. And as long as you have a love for the Lord and the things of God. As long as you fear God. Cain was an able killer. He was a man that killed another man that had abilities that he gave to the Lord. I'm sure his name was named Abel by divine instructions, if you please. Abel's name represented who he was as a person. And when Jethro told Moses to find these able men, he was very specific about what kind of men that he was to find. So first of all, let me just backtrack just for a moment. Me, you, or anybody else don't deserve any place on the platform. We don't deserve any position of leadership. We don't deserve anything whatsoever, any seat in the kingdom of God. But what we do is we seek to become able men, men that fear God, men of good report, men that hate covetousness. We seek to be that kind of man, and that's the kind of man God plucks up and he uses. It should be your desire to be used of God. It should be your desire to contribute to the kingdom of God. And I'm not suggesting that you're not, but what I am telling you is the enemy, the Cain in your life, wants to rise up and kill the ability that you have for the Lord, for the things of God, and for the kingdom of God. Do you know why? Because just as Jethro told Moses, the Cain in your life knows very well that if one person has to do too much, it will eventually kill him. And not only will the Cain in your life kill your ability to be productive for the kingdom of God, but then those that are productive, they will die if they're not careful under the weight of this thing that we call ministry in the kingdom of God. You need to understand every opposition in your life. Everything that rises up that tries to sow division between you and the people of God. That is the Cain in your life. That is the... I wish somebody would hear me right now. That is the Abel killer trying to kill your ability to be something for the kingdom of God. So we don't earn our way into this. We don't tithe our way. Notice Jethro didn't say, well, you know, you want to take your biggest tithe payers and you certainly want to give them a position in rulership as well. Our amount of tithing does not determine. No. It was very important to the wise man Jethro to tell Moses to make sure they're men that fear God first of over everything. Over everything. Because if you fear God, it will always push you. It'll drive you. It'll drive you. I can say I have been, always have been, and always will be afraid of offending God. I told my wife, I hope I'm not right about it, but I had this eerie feeling, that's what goes in your teeth. I got some eerie ones of those too. But I had this eerie feeling. I know who it was, I'm not going to say. There was somebody that sat in our congregations over those last 3 days. And I felt this thing that that person was offending God because they refused to worship, because they refused to acknowledge the presence of the Lord was in this house. And that God may soon remove them from their position of life. Because it's a, how's the scripture go? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a just God. Is that how it's worded? It's a fearful thing. Because God, He's not you and I. I know we sing the songs, friend of God, and He is a friend to us, but He's a God first. And so Jethro was very emphatic. You got to find men that fear God. Now, I believe that there are men in this building today that fear God. And I'm just talking gender. I'm not talking gender. I'm saying men, women that fear God. You got the first thing down. I'll be careful not to let this shoot up in the air and land on somebody. I did want to say on Sunday, but I was trying to be nice. I did want to say, well, we watched those signs that said no food or beverages. Those things probably wouldn't happen in church. Am I boring you? I'm not going to be much longer. You need to understand the weight. No, let me rephrase that. I plead with you to understand the weight that is on this generation of preachers and ministry. And I plead with you to understand that God in all of His wisdom would still call able men to carry some of that burden. He's calling able men, but not qualified men and not skillful men, but able men that fear God, that are of an honest report, and that despise and hate covetousness. Men that are not looking at the world, not looking for the fulfillment of the world, but men that are focused on the kingdom of God. And the second part of that is, if you've got that, if you fit that bill, then you must understand that there's going to be a Cain in your life that hates the favor of God that is upon him. I wish somebody would hear me. Hates the favor of God that is upon. Hates it. Hates when you show up to church. Hates when you lift your hands to worship God. Hates when you joyfully place in the offering plate. Hates when you're willing to go out and pick somebody up and bring them to church. Hates those things. Hates it and despises you because of it. And because of it, sets out to destroy your life, to kill you, just as Cain killed Abel because of God's favor upon Abel's life. All because Abel feared God. All because Abel was an able man. All because he was a man of good report. It'll always draw somebody's ire. Listen to me. Don't you attend church and don't you serve God based off of somebody's opinion of you. Don't you let their personal opinion drive you one way or the other. You just focus on becoming a God-fearing, righteous child of God that hates the world and loves righteousness and the things of God. But you must understand that God's hand is upon your life, and God is looking for able men in 2021 to carry the church into the rapture. But there's also a Cain that wants to kill those abilities in your life so he can hamper the work of the kingdom of God. You've got to rise up above that Cain in your life. Rise up against that spirit in your life and proclaim, I'm sold out. I'm giving everything to God. I'll give all that I've got. If it takes my blood, sweat, and tears, I'll give it, because my reward will be in eternity. You got to be careful of distractions. I've noticed, I'm finishing up here. I've noticed something about social media apps anymore. You know what I've noticed about social media apps? People have no problem anymore prostituting their bodies to get likes. They'll do anything for a like. They'll strip their clothes off. Young girls, big thing to wear the half shirts, half dressed, exposing as much as they possibly can without being nude. You notice Facebook and TikTok, they ain't banning those posts. No, because some of those engineers probably enjoy watching them. Why'd I bring that up to you? Because I thought about that one day. The TikTok app, it's a big for people mimicking and doing dances and all that crazy stuff. And I thought about that one day. I thought, you know, that reminds me of somebody in the Bible. Herodias' daughter danced before Herod. And boy, he liked what he saw. He liked it so much, he was willing to give her John the Baptist's head. He was willing to kill an able man. Oh, I know, I don't really want to do this, but why am I telling you that? You got to be careful, men, when girls want to start dancing in front of you. That is nothing more than the spirit of Herodias' daughter still trying to distract men of God. Well, I wish I had a few men that agreed with me. We live in that day. Satan is doing everything to raise Cains up all across the world. Cains that will rise up and kill an able man. Your battles, whether it be mental, and I'm not being that, and I don't say that in a cruel way, I'm being serious. Emotional, literal, whatever your battles are, you must understand those are only Cains in your life designed to kill the abilities that you have for the Lord. Can you imagine? We preach this for years. I remember my pastor preaching it 30 years ago in Parma. We'll be preaching it until Jesus comes. But it sounds good saying it. But could you imagine what would happen to the church? Could you imagine Brother Godwin's words coming to fulfillment when he talks about the church doubling in size? If the church became a church full of able men, and we begin to together govern the affairs of the church, govern the outreach and the ministries of the church, govern the care of keeping up the church, And what God would do with that when able men pull together. Able men make the burden a lot lighter. Satan knows it. He knows it. You know, there's nothing. I'm just going to ramble for a minute and I'll close. There's nothing worse or more discouraging than when you're riding one of those waves, you know. Everything seems great in the church. Things are going wonderful. People are coming. New people are coming. People are praying back through. And then if you let yourself, you'll pause and you'll think, oh God. Satan never likes that. So there's got to be Cains that are rising up somewhere in somebody's life. And then all of a sudden you get the wind knocked out of you. Years ago, we were at that place in our church. We never had higher momentum. Our attendance was just booming. And Cain rose up in somebody's life. And he killed an able man. It just took the wind out of everything. And then from time to time, there would be another able man that would fall. And whenever able men fall, it causes others to question. Causes others to lose focus. Causes others maybe even sometimes to doubt the cause. But Jesus became an example in that death brings life. We cannot allow death to stop the kingdom of God. They sat there and they gazed as he ascended. And there were the angels. What are you doing? You see the way he left, he's coming back the same way. You know what he was saying to them? Just get busy. Don't stand here too long, get caught up in the moment. That's why Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. He said, don't get caught up grieving in death when there's a whole lot of life that still need to be saved. You cannot forget that you are an able man. You are an able woman. You cannot forget that. You should wake up every day and say, I'm able. And don't forget that there will be a Cain in your life. You got to watch for him. Read an article today. I'm trying to quit. It was said that Ohio drivers at an all-time high have crashed into police cruisers and officers across our state. One man, law enforcement official they were interviewing, he said, when a police officer's on the side of the road, he said he's constantly gotten spinning his head and watching everything. As much as you might not like it, that's what we have to be doing as Christians. You walk in, somebody says a crossword to you. First thing you should be doing is, where's Cain? Because I know he's trying to rise up here. Where's he at? Somebody walks into your life that shouldn't walk into your life, that is taking your focus and your mind off of the things of God. You should be looking all around, saying, all right, I know there's a trap here somewhere. It looks too good to be true. Because it normally is. But if you won't forget who you are, come on. Gotta stop boo-hooing and bahaing a little bit. Remember who you are. You're not a little baby that the Lord still has to nurture. You gotta be a child of God and not just in name only. Not just in self-identity, but you got to remember and recognize that I'm somebody that matters to the Lord and to the kingdom of God. I'm somebody that God can use and will use and wants to use. I've still got it. I haven't outgrown this thing. It hasn't outlasted me. I haven't come to a place where I lack relevance. No, you're just as important today as you were 10 years ago. People come to me and they say to me all the time, they say, well, Pastor, I've been doing this for 10 years now. It's time to move on, ain't it? I say, oh, I wish you'd have told me that in my 10-year mark. I didn't know that we got to check out at a certain stage and a certain place. Well, you have to. I don't have to. I could go work a secular 9-to-5 job and come home and not carry the burdens of people and the weight of their problems and the weight of their sin and the weight of the attacks on their homes and their families. I could just come home and stick my thumb in my mouth and eat a nice hot cooked meal and watch a movie too. But I don't choose to, because I realized years ago that I'm one of those able men. I'm one of those people that God called. And I'm going to give God everything that I've got until I got nothing left to give. Because it's a cause. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. So, would you stand with me? Whatever you got going on in your life today, hear me. You're sitting there all stubborn because you had a bad week and I don't care. I ain't going to listen to nobody. Get off your little high horse and get a hold of God tonight and realize that you got to care. Hold on a second. Realize, oh, ain't nothing going to happen to me. You stop being such a fool. Some of the greatest men in the Bible fell to sin and fell away from God. Ain't nothing going to happen to you. That attitude is sure to happen to you. But you got to realize who you are. You're an able man that God called for a particular hour. You weren't just born by chance, just happened to come along and by good fortune, I like it here and now you're here. No. God's divine direction guided every step in order to help you realize your abilities. Let yourself get bitter to each other or at somebody else. Don't let distraction walk into your life without calling it out. Don't let it. Well, how do I know it's distraction? If it's not able, if it doesn't fear God, if it doesn't have a good report. Come on, girls. He didn't leave 5 other girls with babies because he's a good man. What do you need to wake you up? He doesn't have a good report. Come on, ladies. He doesn't have tattoos on his arm for every girl he slept with because he's a good man. Because he's of good report. It's a Cain. I'm not saying anything specific towards anybody here, so if you're thinking that, I'm not at all. I'm just talking. I've recognized a lot of Cain, a lot of Abel killers in my life over time. Joseph taught us how to handle Abel killers. He ran. He didn't say, well, I wanted to go, but they had my card again. And that was a very expensive one. Or my grandmother gave that to me. It means a lot. No, Joseph didn't care. He said, you can keep the coat, baby. He goes, I'm out of here before I get sucked into something I shouldn't be involved in. Can you imagine what would have happened to Joseph's testimony had he fallen for that trap? He might have never been in prison. He might have been killed. He'd have never stood before Pharaoh, and Israel would be a thing of the past. That's how important it is to recognize the Cains that rise up in your life. And it's not just people. Sometimes it's a spiritual Cain that rises up because he sees how things are going and you're growing in God and things are going well. And all of a sudden, pow, Cain shows up. Attitude shows up. Bitterness shows up. Hurt shows up. pain and sorrow shows up. Anger shows up. Jealousy shows up. Every one of those things have the same thing in common. They're all from the DNA of Cain. So whatever you got in your life tonight that is trying to kill the ability for you to be used of God, I will plead with you to bring it to this altar and lay it down before the Lord and rededicate yourself to Him if you have to. Reconsecrate. There ain't no shame in that whatsoever. Go ahead and sing for us, Brother Tyler. Lord, help us, I pray tonight, God, to recognize these able killers in our lives. Help us tonight, oh God, not to fall for that trap that wants to destroy what you're doing, what you're positioning individuals for. There are some of you here tonight, God is positioning you. He's divinely positioning you, and the devil knows it. And because of that, he's bringing a Cain. Hang on a second. Who in this building right now has had somebody come to you in the past week to warn you about being here? Anybody want to raise their hand? Thank you for your honesty, because I know what I felt in the Holy Ghost. I know there. Now listen, the very fact that I could call that out under the unction of the Holy Ghost should prove to you what God is trying to do in this place tonight. I know what an able killer looks like. I've seen him many times. And you ought to take this word tonight and that confirmation and realize that means you belong now more than ever before. And an able killer only wants to take away what God is trying to do for you. Go ahead and sing, Brother Tyler.
There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. I can't control.
You to see how God works. When I looked over in her direction, the Holy Ghost told me what I called out, and I have not talked to her. I know the things that I feel in the Holy Ghost, and you need to understand that Satan will, and it could be good people, people that love you, but don't understand the will of God for your life, that could be a Cain in your life. Cain loved his brother. They were brothers. They were blood. Come from the same mama and the same father. That doesn't change anything. Protect who you are in the Lord and God's will for your life and where He's taking you, because He's preparing you. Go ahead, Brother Tyler.
And I surrender all to you. And everything
I give you all. withholding nothing. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Withholding.
What a wonderful spirit we felt here tonight. Amen. Pastor's just asked me to come up here and close in prayer. So if you just bow your heads with me and pray. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful spirit and the opportunity to come in here and give you praise and worship, God. That we came in here in unity and that we felt your presence. And that we came in here with a spirit of expectation. And that we received something individually. And that we carry this into the rest of our week, Lord. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.